passage is found in Isaiah chapter 53:3-4. We welcome all you in that great name, Emmanuel. God is with us today. And we trust that you treasure God's unspeakable gift, Emmanuel, in your hearts like the Magi from the far east, how they came and magnified and worshiped the Lord and gave their treasures. Because the scripture teaches where your treasure is, therefore there will be your heart also. So that gives a clue where your treasure is in your heart. If you have your Bibles with us this morning, we would ask that you would turn with us in the first gospel in the New Testament to St. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, please. St. Matthew. Did I say St. Matthew? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. That's why we got a bulletin. Keep me on track, okay? Okay, that's why we got a bulletin. St. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And friends, it reads as follows. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when he have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child, where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And they had opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way, the Bible says. May the Lord would add a blessing to the reading of his eternal word. Shall we bow and ask God's blessing upon this service? Father in heaven, we love you with all our hearts, soul, mind, strength. We would pray, Lord, that we would be like the Magi, spirit, Father, to just worship you in spirit and in truth, and hide the word of God, the great treasures that's before us. We thank you, Lord, for the giving us eternal life, something we don't deserve, but because of your grace and your love. And we pray that you will speak to our hearts in Jesus' precious, strong name with thanksgiving. Amen. We welcome you all today in that blessed name. Glad that you weathered the storm and came out as a testimony. Even your neighbors saw you come out. And that's a testimony. We wanted to We kind of started kind of getting on time a little. I think we kind of getting off a little on starting everything. We got to continue to be decent in order. Praise the Lord. So the subject today is tribute to the king. Homage. Same thing. Tribute to the king. And, you know, it's three things that I like to share before I get started on this about how we see Christ. The wise men, the magi, they were seeking the king. They were seeking the king. Herod was opposing the king. The Jewish priests were ignoring the king. Where do you stand in your commitment, in your perspective about this newborn king? Only you can answer that. What about you and I? Let us give homage. Let us give tribute to Jesus Christ, the King. Let us worship him in spirit and truth today. In him, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, according to Paul's pen in Colossians 2:7. This Savior was prophesied to be in the village of Bethlehem centuries ago. Known as the House of Bread. The House of Bread. He is the bread of life, isn't he? Have you found him today? That's who he is. He's the bread of life. Jesus being born in Bethlehem is a very significant town, to say the least. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Micah said, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me that is the ruler of Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting." You know, after the conquest of Canaan under Joshua, Bethlehem meaning is house of bread. And just to give you some background, this is a place where Jacob buried his beloved, Rachel is there. Ruth met Boaz there in that town. David grew up, tended sheep there. So it's a very significant highlight background in the Christian community. As David tended sheep there. And by the time of Christ, it is called the City of David. And this minor prophet Micah promised Christ would come from this small village. Even the wise men or the magi came and gave testimony to this account. And these wise men or magi, they was very wealthy men. They was scholarly men, very knowledgeable. And they had studied Jewish history they was connected with Daniel's writings. And God from heaven led them to this little town of Jerusalem. And they saw the light. Their first concern was upon arriving to Jerusalem, looking for this king, saying, "Where is he?" Faith cometh by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing by the word of God. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the verse 1, days of Herod the king, behold, there was wise men from the east to the Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and I come to worship him." Did you come today to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That is our utmost goal today. Not for fashion and see who Mrs. Jones or Mr. Jones, what they wearing and all that rest. We just come to simple praise the Lord. Worship him in the spirit and truth like the Magi did. And he was, has been born king of the Jews, they was asking. "We have seen his star from the east and have come to worship him." And it wasn't, you know, your Christmas cards, I'm sorry, they got it wrong. It wasn't just three men. It was a whole legion. It was a whole host of men because it was a great threat. Probably two of Dr. What is that man that used to speak on the radio? Back to the Bible. No, not back to the Bible. Through the Bible. McGee, Dr. McGee. Dr. McGee says it could have been up to at least 300 contingent men. So at that time, it was a great threat to this current Herod the king in Jerusalem area. With a large contingent of soldiers and servants, and the commentary says it could have been several hundred, causing a heavy threat to the proud, the present King Herod. And their background, the Magi's background, friends, was skilled with astronomy, and astrology. Very knowledgeable scholars from which we get our word magic or magician that is derived. Again, they were asking, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" The Greek construction is a present participle emphasizing action. Continue action. In other words, whomever they met, they would go around the city, "Where is he?" And nobody seemed to know where it was Christ. Because the Magi, they were foreigners. They assumed that everybody in Judea knew where to find Jesus Christ. What about you and me? Can they find Christ in us, the hope of glory? Is it enough evidence in your life to point people to Christ and to ask people to ask you, "Where is Jesus Christ?" So they, foreigners, they was trying to find where is this child, but to their amazement, no one was there to talk about him. Are we talking about Jesus Christ today? About his son, about the good news, about the Lamb of God, about the Redeemer, about the Anointed One, about our substitute, that something that we deserve to go to hell, our Redeemer. Are we talking about it? However, at this time, the Jewish historian Josephus reports in the Jewish Wars that about the time of Christ's birth, Jews believed that from one of their country would soon become the ruler of the habitable earth. Josephus wrote that. It was God that gave the Magi. It was God that led them and gave them a sign from the east. And much speculation about the identity of this peculiar star that was leading them. God always direct his people. He direct his people in the 40 years when they was in blind in the wilderness. But he directed them through Moses. And he's directing you if you're living right and you living in a life that's pleasing to the Lord. These men were skillful again, fully comprehensible about the stars. They knew it was the glory of the Lord. And then you remember the Gospel of Luke 2:9, of the adoration of the shepherds. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined around about them, and were so much afraid. You know, throughout the Old Testament, God manifested as light unspeakable, infallible, radiating his presence known as the Shekinah glory. He guided the children of Israel through the wilderness as a pillar through the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You know the story. God also has shown his powerful glory through Moses and gave the Ten Commandments on stone. His face glowed with the light of God's glory. When he returns to this earth, he will show his Shekinah glory. And just before Jesus spoke to him, to Saul, you remember? Saul of Tarsus was surrounded by what? By a light from heaven, Shekinah glory. The Messiah is spoken as a star that shall come forth from Jacob. At the end of the New Testament, we refer to himself as the bright and morning star. Just some research and some evidence of the glory of God and how he shone upon his people. Look at verse 3. And Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. In his New Testament commentary in Matthew, John MacArthur quotes, "It was a brilliant manifestation of the sign of the Son of Man. The Shekinah glory of God over Bethlehem showing. Just as centuries before it had stood over the tabernacle in the wilderness, only the eyes of the Magi were open to see God's great light over Bethlehem," end of quote. So at the same time, this scenario agitated King Herod, a fool, one that was suppressing the truth. The so-called Herod the Great, he was very agitated against this potential king, this newborn king. And it poses a great threat to his throne, by the way. He didn't want any competition. No, he did not want any competition, nor would he tolerate it, as we shall see. Upon the delegation of the wise men, the town was in an uproar and disturbed greatly. It was Herod's thinking that the soon the better to get rid of this one to be rival for his throne, a great threat to him. So what a contrast. The Magi company rejoiced of hearing the birth of Jesus' birth. But when King Herod heard this news, he was troubled. Some people, when they hear Jesus Christ, you know what the Bible teaches today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He got just like Pharaoh got, continued to harden his heart. Do you know people like that? They do not want to hear the truth, to let Jesus Christ become their personal savior in their hearts. So meantime, Herod knew these prominent, prestigious, and very wealthy scholars or soldiers were appearing and of royalty as kings from the east. The scripture teaches all Jerusalem with him was also troubled. One man, Herod, caused the whole uproar of all the people in Jerusalem. One person can spoil your joy if you let him. Herod did not ask, he demanded, I know that you have the scriptures and them you have record of a Messiah that's coming. I want to know where he is to be born, end of quote. He wanted to know. Why he wanted to know? He wanted to know to destroy. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And, you know, King Herod can be traced back to Esau, tribe of Judah. And you remember the story of Jacob and Esau. There was rivals from the beginning. And they're still fighting today. And look at verse 5. And they said unto him, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, the land of Judea, and not a least among the princes of Judea, for out of you shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people. There it is. Christ was going to come to set up his kingdom and to take the reins of the government one day, which was a threat. So keep in mind, he had gathered all the chief priests and all the scribes and primarily the Pharisees and authorities of the Jewish law. They knew that they had a head knowledge of salvation or deliverance, that Jesus was to be more than just a shepherd and a tender care, but he was to become a ruler one day. And it meant the sovereignty dominance of Christ, how he was going to rule and to reign one day. That was a great threat to the community, that he was going to rule with a rod of iron one day, because they knew the scriptures. These people knew Jesus not only would be a legitimate king of the Jews, but they would also be a final and perfect ruler of Israel. Now, we're going to try to wrap this up. It's almost 12:30. The chief and the priests and the scribes were said to have had more knowledge of the coming Messiah. They should have worshiped and believed in Jesus Christ. A lot of people have head knowledge, don't they? They got a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart experience. And it's the same 2,000 years ago, the same plight we're in today. Our righteousness is still as filthy as rags in God's sight. And our arms are too short to reach to God. We can't meet God.
This is why we need Jesus Christ, the mediator, to meet us.
And so they had a head knowledge of Messiah. They should have worshiped God and believed in him, but through their indifference would lead them to rejection
and being a rejecter and a scoffer. They became hateful through venomous and murders instead.
So this special star reappeared to the shepherds. Not the shepherds, the Magi from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. The star reappeared to them. God is showing them the light. God has showed us the light.
Yes,
he has. Emmanuel. And when they saw the narrative says, when they saw them, they rejoiced. I can't even say the word. Help me, church. Exceedingly. They rejoice exceedingly. With great joy, with the extent of the whole heart. And this great, and through this great event, they saw Christ, the child, face to face. Now keep in mind, Jesus probably was about 12 to 18 months at this time. As they saw Christ, the child, John Wesley, in his quote, captures the experience of this beautiful Christmas hymn. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead sees, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And they saw him, they worshiped him, they gave gifts. We know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Beginning of knowledge, but fools despise to regret as worthless wisdom and instructions. And the fool, to be a fool like King Herod, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But we know wise men still seek him, don't they? You attested that. That's why you're here today in the first place and not sleeping on me. And someone said, Jesus left his heavenly home to come to earth wrapped in flesh. He laid aside his glory so he could be close to the people he created. Did you know that you're a creation of God? All are welcome to the gutter around the gutter, yeah, that's right, around the manger, crib, filthy shepherd straight from the fields. You are accepted in the beloved. I am accepted. Whether we be filthy or corporately together or wealthy, he accepted. Stinky, outcast, shepherds from the fields, Gentile astrologers bearing lavish gifts. He accepts us all. That's why it's written in John 3:16, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. Uttermost to guttermost, it don't matter. And those who are looking for the Messiah, and those who are not looking for the Messiah. Praise God for his unspeakable gift. Father in heaven, we just love you. We thank you, Father, that we should always pay homage to the unspeakable gift, Emmanuel, the precious eternal gift from heaven, as the wise man did. And we thank you, Father, that wise men still seek him. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Holly.